Mishnah Pad Pad Mahasa Pad Vyaka Shaisha Dusta Shishimad Divine Grace AC Bad Kanda Submission Mishnah Pad Ki Jai. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Shri Shri Guru and Shri Gauranga. Can I have some warm water, please? Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Please turn the ringer off your telephone. Om Agyana Timurandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshuram Vitamena Tasmai Sri Viravena Maha. I was born into the darkest of ignorance, but my spiritual master opened my eyes with such light of knowledge. I offer my respectful obeisances unto him. So today, we're observing, the disappearance day of Srila Prabhupada. And nobody wanted to see him go, so nobody was celebrating on that day. But as Srila Prabhupada's recently, I just recently heard Srila Prabhupada speak about the disappearance of Bhakti Siddhanta. He gave the story of the Rishi who blessed different people according to who they were. To a young prince, he blessed them, may you live Chiranjiva, may you have long, very long life. To Brahmachari, he said, may you die immediately. To a sadhu, he said, live or die as you please. And to a butcher, he said, you don't live and you don't die. So I'm explaining that analogy, Prabhupada said that because the prince, the royal order, they're always engaged, most of the time are engaged in sense gratification. Not all of them were like the Pandavas. They're engaged in a lot of sense gratification. So, and because of this, they accrue so much sinful reaction that after they die, they will suffer so much that his blessing was, you don't die. Because as soon as you die, you'll have serious problems. And to the brahmachari, who was already engaged in brahmacharya, he's engaged in a life of achieving Brahman, because he's acquired so much punya, let him die immediately. Then you, why live? Why continue living? You can immediately get access to all of this punya which you've achieved. And to the sadhu, a real Mahabhagavad, he says, don't live, don't die. Because, he says, you can live, he gave a contradictory benediction, because for this person, it doesn't matter whether he lives or dies, because he's always on a transcendental plane. Always on a transcendental plane. As Srila Prabhupada said, he was always in Vrindavan. Because Krishna is in our heart. Krishna is always in Vrindavan. If you realize Krishna, then where are you? You're in Vrindavan also. So it doesn't matter. He doesn't have to. If he lives, he's not going to get any negative karma. And he's enjoying transcendental life. And if he dies, he also enjoys transcendental life. Whereas a butcher, his life is hell. They're always killing, you know, up to your knees in blood. You know, so much suffering of animals. And then after you, you know, so this life itself is hellish. And after he dies, it will be even more hell. All that papa karma will accrue to them. So he should definitely not live, nor should he die. So the Mahabhagavat, like Srila Prabhupada, Bhaktisiddhanta, the major acharyas, sampradaya acharyas, they are always on the transcendental platform. But when they leave our vision, then the problem arises of how to maintain and propagate the legacy that the acharya has given. Just like everybody, you know, a mundane person, they want that their descendants inherit their property, their wealth. You want it to go to your children, right? We wouldn't want to see that they lose everything and it just goes, you know, the government takes it. You definitely don't want, whoever gets it, you don't want the government to get it, right? You definitely don't want the government to get it. Anybody else but the government, because they, you know, we know why. They're going to take everything in taxes, but they have all these death taxes. So you try to keep as much away from the government as possible. But you want it to go to somebody. Or you work so hard all your life, and you want it to see, you want to see it go into good hands, so it's not wasted. So if that's true with material things, it's even more so with spiritual things. That Srila Prabhupada, Bhaktisiddhanta, they underwent so tremendous austerities. Tremendous austerities to create this mission. Bhaktisiddhanta, he spent 9 years living in a hut chanting, you know, he wanted to chant 1 crore. You know, 1 crore rounds, holy names of the Lord. Billion names of the Lord. And Srila Prabhupada, his whole life, a lifetime in preparation, coming to the West, tremendous difficulties. So he has a great legacy, which we have to preserve. And so his legacy, one could say, is from buildings, temples. When he left the planet, there was 108 temples. Now it's expanded, specifically, especially in India. In India alone, there's almost 100. We have about 80 temples. When Prabhupada left, there were 7. Now we have approximately 80, and it's multiplying. Every time you know, every time you look, there's another announcement, a new temple is being established. And Prabhupada made so many devotees, so many disciples, and books. And he gave us the holy name. But of all of these, the books are the most important. Because as we can see, temples come and go. Especially around here, we know about that. But temples, they fall into disuse. They can be burnt down, they can be knocked down, blown up. And disciples, they die. Just this year alone, just see, proof. Disciples die. This year alone, I've lost about 8 or 10 God brothers and God sisters. One just died a few days ago. Punachandra Swami. The holy name, that's in the books. The only reason we know about the holy name is because it's found in the books. So the most important thing is Srila Prabhupada's books. He worked incredibly hard to propagate these books, to write these books. He said he got the idea when he was, one time he was with his own Guru Maharaj, what was important to Bhaktisiddhanta? He was walking with Bhaktisiddhanta and he picked up the idea that for him books are the most important. He said that this Bagh Bazar temple, very beautiful temple, all marble, but because of this apparent material facility, disciples began to argue. So Bhaktisiddhanta said, it would be much better if we just sell all the marble and print books. So Prabhupada said, I got this idea that books are very important to Bhaktisiddhanta. He said, if you ever get any money, just print books. Because in these books is a literary incarnation of Krishna, says in the Bhagavatam. Specifically the Bhagavatam is a literary incarnation of Krishna. And these books contain ideas. I just read a quote. Stalin said, ideas are more dangerous than guns. We don't give our enemies guns. Why should we give them ideas? So the ideas which are contained in Prabhupada's books are very potent. The Bhagavatam. What does it say in the first canto of the Bhagavatam? That this Bhagavatam is meant to create a revolution in the heart of the impious living entity. So there's so many revolutionary movements. There's Maoists, there's communists, there's, you know, every other day there's a new revolutionary movement is there. But this revolution of the Bhagavatam, this is the most important revolution. To create a revolution in the heart of impious people. That's all of us. If we're in a material world, that means us. The ideas, but people become frightened of these ideas because they see that they actually work. There's one incident in the life of Natha Muni. Everybody know who Natha Muni is? Natha Muni was the grandfather of Yamunacharya. Everybody knows who Yamunacharya is? Okay. Next door they know. Yamunacharya is the guru of Ramanujacharya. Everybody knows who Ramanujacharya is? Okay, that's good. Okay. So Natha Muni was an important acharya in the Sri Sampradaya. So one time, he heard some sadhus chanting a section of the Divya Prabandha, the Tamil Veda. And from it, he could understand that there was a much larger composition of 1,000 verses. So he asked them, where is the rest of this literature? He said, well, actually, this literature was actually composed by Nam Alwar. And he distributed it amongst the people. But it was so powerful when people read it that they gave up all interest in material life. And he just became dedicated to worshipping the Lord. And everybody who came in contact with this, they developed that mentality. So the other people, the materialistic people, they became afraid of this, that see, these people have lost all interest in material life, and it's not good. They thought this was a negative thing, that we should lose interest in material life and develop love of God. So they took all the books and they threw them in the river because they thought it was dangerous. These are dangerous books. They were right, of course, that they are dangerous books. They took this composition of Nam Alwar and he threw it into the river. And all the leaves went down into the ocean except for this one patra with these 10 verses on it. It went against the stream. It went in the opposite direction. So they thought, we'll save this one. So this is the only thing that was left. And this is what these sadhus were chanting. So Natha Muni, he searched out and found Nam Alwar, who was living in Tirunagari, which is, some scholars believe that is identical with Adikeshava, the Adikeshava temple, which is where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu found the Brahma Samhita. That was his headquarters. So Natha Muni found Dhammavar, and he was able to, through the blessings of Dhammavar, to reconstitute this section of the Divya Prabandha. The point being is that materialistic people, they don't understand the value of the Shastra. It would be something like hospital patients, you know, seeing other people getting cured and leaving the hospital and thinking, oh, there's less patients. That medicine is very dangerous. We should destroy the medicine. Because just see people leave the hospital after they take the medicine. They should stay here with us. Or prisoners, seeing other prisoners, rehabilitating themselves and then leaving jail, but they become upset and so they throw the keys away. So nobody can leave jail. So these texts, these shastras are like that. They allow us to leave this material world. But the asuric mentality, and that not just other people, that's also in our own mind, because we are, Krishna explains in the, I think it's the second chapter, or maybe it's the third chapter, I think it's the third chapter, Gita, that kama esha, krodha esha, raja guna samubhava, that this, this lust, which is the all-devouring enemy of mankind, and that lust is situated in our own ahankara, manasa, and buddhi. It's inside of us. So if you want to see who the enemy is, just look in the mirror. The asura is in the mirror. So it is our own mentality. We don't want to take the medicine. We're afraid of taking the medicine. We might actually stop being envious of Krishna. We might get cured. Better to stay here. It's dangerous. So many fears are there. What if Krishna, there's so many fears that we have. We always put so many obstacles in our own way of not reading. It's because it's tapasya. As Krishna explains in the latter part of the Gita, the many types of tapasya. Like turning off your phone. That's a tapasya for some people. Just turn the ringer off. You won't miss any calls. The various types of tapasya of speech, tapasya of action. Tapasya of the mind is to study shastra every day. That is tapasya. We don't find a tapasya to read the newspaper. We want to read the newspaper. You know, we want to read this, we want to read so many things. But when it comes to reading shastra, that becomes tapasya. Because we have to control our mind. We have to focus. That's why Vyasadeva, he wrote simpler texts, you know, for the common people, like Mahabharata. No? Very few people are going to be interested in reading the Shvetashvatara Upanishad or the Chandogya Upanishad. People are not interested in, you know, only very intellectual people are interested in reading the Upanishads and their commentaries. But the Mahabharata, Ramayana, that's for the common people. But even that will find difficulty reading nowadays. And snuck inside the Mahabharata, we find the Gita. Just to, like the hook in the bait. There's some, because most of the Mahabharata is about Dharma, Artha, and Kama. Very few moksha. So the Gita is the very small part of the moksha kanda of the Mahabharata. So, but if we actually get into reading Prabhupada's books, his books are meant to transform us. Bhakti Siddhanta, he created this institution of the Gaudiya Math. He, first of all, of course, he was already a transformed personality. But to make himself more of a, you could say, a alchemical reaction, like the touchstone turns iron into gold, is an alchemy. So there's also a Vaishnava alchemy, how to turn materialistic persons into saintly persons. Like Narada Muni, he turned Mrigari from a vicious sadistic hunter who liked to kill animals half dead into a great saint who was afraid even of stepping on an ant. That's power of transformation. That's real transformation. That's what people were astounded when Prabhupada came to India bringing his disciples, that they were astounded. Here are meat-eating, wine-drinking womanizers who are practicing celibacy, and they were astounded. These white elephants. So Bhaktisiddhanta, he created the Gaudiya Math to transform people through his writings, through his books. And one such person who was transformed was Srila Prabhupada. He was transformed. He was a Gandhian. He was in Gandhi's movement. Quit school so that he wouldn't be cooperating with the British. Just before getting his degree, he quit school because Gandhi had a non-cooperation movement. But Bhaktisiddhanta convinced him, transformed him. So there's great power of transformation there in these books. I'll give you an example. I had one person, one devotee from Punjab. He wanted to be my astrology student, the disciple of Gopal Krishna. He just got initiated last year. So he really, really wanted to be my astrology student. So I told him, I would not even consider you unless you read all of Srila Prabhupada's books. That's the prerequisite. Doesn't mean I'm going to accept you. But unless you've done that, I won't even consider thinking about possibly teaching you something. Anything. So this person really wanted to study astrology. So like Dhruva Maharaj, who wanted to become the king of the universe. So I told him, you have to read all the Prabhupada's books and listen to all the Prabhupada's lectures. Then I might think about it. So then, this person was very determined that he wanted to study astrology. So he began doing what I told him to do. And this is some quotes from some letters that he wrote me after. So on the 20th, this is dated 23rd of August this year. So he writes, yesterday on the 29th, so he's been doing it for 29 days now. On the 29th day, I completed the study of the first and second canto. So he read the first and second canto in 29 days. Today I'm reading Adi Leela chapter 1, because I told him to alternate Bhagavatam and Chaitanya Charitamrita, because that's what I did. When I didn't read just one, didn't read the other. I alternated. So today I am reading Adi Leela chapter 1 of the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Spiritual masters. After reading Adi Leela, after this I shall come back to Canto 3, the Srimad Bhagavatam. I have completed hearing 60 lectures of Srila Prabhupada. Then he writes the next day, due to your mercy, I am convinced to read the literatures of Srila Prabhupada. Right now it is past midnight, 1:10 a.m., and I'm still reading Adi Leela, first chapter. I have no sleep in my eyes. Taste has developed to read as fast as I can. I am really changed person in the past 30 days. I desire that there must be more hours in today's night so that I can study all of Srila Prabhupada's literature today itself. So Prabhuji, is it okay to be crazy like this? Your servant. Now, it's not that he is a bum and he hasn't got a job and he's got all the time in the world to do this. This is what he writes. The next day he writes, I just want you to know about my daily schedule. I am married. I have a son, 7 years old. My wife is also having a job as assistant professor at Punjab University. I live in a joint family. Brother is also married. Wife, working wife, 2 kids. My daily routine is I wake up between 4:30 to 5, chant Mangal Arti, Nisringa Kavacha, chant my rounds with a walk and rest and get ready by 7:30. My wife's job, 40 kilometers away, so she leaves for the office by 7:45. I make my son ready and take prasadam by 8:15. Remain in office from 8:30 to 5. While I come back, do some market work and reach home by 5:30. If I don't go to the temple, I'm with my son for the first 1.5 hours. He plays with friend. I listen to MP3 lectures of Srila Prabhupada. Wife comes back at 6:30. While she is busy with son, for the next hour, I read Prabhupada's books. I help her in cooking, and after prasadam again, start reading Prabhupada's books. Sleep at between 10:30 to 11, generally, except for the previous night when he was up until after 1 o'clock in the morning. So then he writes, after associating with you, I have become a better devotee, more service attitude towards Srila Prabhupada and mission, and better as an astrologer. I shall now become a genuine astrologer and also able to give more and better service to Srila Prabhupada's mission and also family. Is it okay to have such a mood? He's very humble. Of course, he's overestimating my association because all I told him to do is associate with Srila Prabhupada. He listened to 60 lectures of Srila Prabhupada in 1 month, and he's read 2 cantos of the Bhagavatam and is reading the first canto of reading the first portion of the Chaitanya Charitamrita. That's why he's feeling so good, not because of me. But I gave him a few emails. So that's the ecstasy he's feeling, and he's got a busy schedule like everybody else. Does his schedule sort of sound like yours? In fact, his enthusiasm and his experience got me more interested in reading also. Even though I've read Prabhupada's books for 3 times, I'm going to read again. Because I found through my career as a devotee that Krishna consciousness actually works if you do it. Because sometimes we sort of go this, we stray this way and that way. But if you actually do it, it works. And that's an example. You begin focusing your mind. And when you're reading Srila Prabhupada's books, who are you with? First of all, when you're with Srila Prabhupada, you're with Narada Muni. Right? You're with all those sages in Naimisharanya. In the first canto, you're with the Pandavas. You're with all these great exalted personalities, and they're direct. These are real. And when you read them, you are associating with them. Don't forget that the Bhagavatam is the literary incarnation of God. I was just hearing Srila Prabhupada speak yesterday that Krishna doesn't just appear in the human form or in a human society. As Krishna explains in the 10th chapter of the Gita and other parts of the Gita, that there are tree incarnations of Krishna. It's like, among the trees, I am the Ashwata. There's the day incarnation. There are certain days which are actually incarnations of Krishna. Which days are those? Anybody with guess? Anybody have a guess which days are incarnations of Krishna? Very good. 2 different incarnations. Because there's 2 different pastimes, there's 2 ekadasis, 2 different incarnations. There's amongst the fish, I am the makra. Amongst the fish, different incarnations of Krishna, different species. Bird incarnations, fish incarnations. So there's also book incarnations. So Bhagavatam is the book incarnation. So it's because this devotee, simple devotee, young devotee, only been initiated last year, family man, wife, kids, the whole thing, but because he focused himself on reading Srila Prabhupada's books, he's feeling this ecstasy. And then he told me, actually he realized that the most important thing in life is not to be an astrologer, but to become a pure devotee. Because the fact, astrologer is just a material designation. Pure devotee is a real life. And then his son, who he dearly loved, became extremely ill. Life-threatening disease. So I was getting all these panic letters from this person. So I just told him, you just wait till all the tests are done. In the meantime, you keep reading and chanting. You know, just like Arjuna did not give up his duties just because Abhimanyu was killed. Imagine, his son is murdered in front of him. All of his children were murdered. Arjuna didn't give up. Arjuna wasn't stopped from doing his service just because his children were killed. So you also shouldn't be disturbed. You don't even know if your child is going to die or not. You're just worried. So continue doing this. As it says in the 6th chapter of the Gita, verses 20 to 23, that by understanding who you really are, by focusing on the super soul, and understanding your real position, you will not be disturbed even in the midst of the greatest difficulty. This is verse 6, chapter 20 to 23. So he did that. And then he was able to maintain his composure, and then after some time he got the test back and his son is okay. So he was happy. Get worried because of, he was worried for nothing. So if this can be the, you know, this is a result that we can all experience. But, you know, especially when we're, if we just make the effort to do so. There's always distractions. So this is the main legacy that Srila Prabhupada gave us, is his books. He put his blood into it. Now, though Srila Prabhupada may not be our Diksha Guru, he's our Shiksha Guru. Every initiate into the Ramanuja Sampradaya, it's even called the Ramanuja Sampradaya, the Sri Sampradaya, every member, you know, reads the books written by Ramanuja, Sri Bhashya, Vedanta Sara, Vedanta Samagraha, the Gadya Traya, his Gita Bhashya. They all study these books if they're bona fide members of the Sri Sampradaya. Same with Madhva Sampradaya. They read, they study the books of Madhvacharya first. Otherwise, they're not actually Madhvas. You're not actually a member of the Sri Sampradaya unless you've studied and mastered the works of Ramanuja. But similarly, we have to study and inculcate the works of Srila Prabhupada, which he spent his life doing. He would go to bed at 10 o'clock at night, sometimes 11, wake up at 1 o'clock in the morning just to write. That's discipline. He had a very disciplined life so that he could give us these books as his greatest legacy. You know, like a parent may give their child, you know, the greatest heirloom, the greatest treasure. So this is the greatest treasure that Srila Prabhupada has given us, is his books. But I was very disappointed. I think it was the last class I gave or the before that, and I asked for a show of hands, and I'm going to do it right now also. How many people, I'm going to ask right now, how many people have read the Bhagavad Gita as it is? Raise your hand, please. Higher. Don't be shy. Well, that's very good, relatively speaking. Okay. Next. How many people have read the first canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam? That's less, but that's, how many people have read up to the sixth canto of Bhagavatam? It's getting lesser now. How many people have read the whole Srimad Bhagavatam? Not even on, just two fingers required for that one. You're holding up the cloth. Do you also? No. Is that your hand up or just holding the cloth? You're just holding the cloth? Okay. No, it doesn't count. So, only two people in the whole room have read the whole Srimad Bhagavatam. How are we going to give the legacy to the next generation? You are the next generation. About 8 or 10 of my godbrothers and godsisters died this year. are not going to be around forever. Every year will get more and more. It means everything is depending upon you. It actually depends upon you, not somebody else. If you're initiated into the Sampradaya, it means the responsibility is with you, with me. That's what it means to be initiated into the Sampradaya. It means to have an extremely heavy responsibility. We're not just booksellers. In fact, we're not booksellers. That's a side effect. So, okay, who's read the whole Chaitanya Charitamrita? Two. Did you also read the Bhagavatam? Oh, that's three, okay. Three read the Bhagavatam, two read the Chaitanya Charitamrita. No. Complete. Not complete. Okay, then you don't count. So this is not good. We really want that. And Srila Prabhupada wanted his followers to read these books. Now, in the Gaudiya Math, it was like a major intellectual center for studying of these literatures. Srila Prabhupada, Bhaktisiddhanta he requested two of his friends, a Madhva and a Sri Vaishnav scholars, to come to Mayapur to train his disciples in Siddhanta. Similarly, we have to also become very trained in Siddhanta. So I want to make a challenge that how many people vow that by next Prabhupada's disappearance day, they will have read the whole Bhagavatam. There's 335 chapters in the Bhagavatam, and there's 365 days in the year. So how many people will take up this challenge of reading the whole Bhagavatam? That's 3, 4, 5, 6. All right, okay, getting it. Okay, we're going to take your names down, because we're going to check who has done it or not. Where's the book? Who's got the book? He's got the book. So you go to all of these people and you get their names and telephone numbers. We're serious. This is deadly serious business. Because we're all going to die. And at the time of death, it's not pretty. I personally know I came this close to dying 3 years ago. I was in a major car accident. And when you're dying, I was within 1 hour of death, that my doctor told me. If they had not brought me to the hospital, I would have been dead within an hour. Either blood loss or anaphylactic shock. It's not pretty. It's extremely confusing. Very painful. And it's whatever you learned up to that point, that's what's going to be tested. So these books will help you. That's what will come to your mind. And it's directly worshipping Krishna. It says in the second canto of Bhagavatam that this is direct to... Mataji, you need to learn to read the Bhagavatam. That way you'll remember to turn off your phone. Anybody else hasn't turned their phone off yet? But this, we're all going to die. And the time of death is going to be difficult. Very, very difficult. So, and we don't know when it's going to happen. From Bhadrapriya, his mother, his whole, and a group of his family, they were just going to a wedding someplace between Pune and Mumbai. Out of 5, 4 were killed in a car accident. You don't know. It can happen. You read in the newspapers every day. People die. You just don't think it's going to be you. But one day it will be. And for most of us, it's not going to be pretty. So I don't say we're going to do it later. This is the time to do it. Like Madhusudana Hari, he's seeing it directly. His father-in-law is dying. It's painful, isn't it? He's in a lot of pain. Tremendous pain. He wants somebody to kill him, isn't it? That's how much pain. But Srila Prabhupada, when he was... they're going to be showing the video after I leave about Srila Prabhupada's last days, the final lesson. And you see Srila Prabhupada in his last breath, he's translating these books. And the physician said, anybody else in that condition would be screaming in agony. But instead Srila Prabhupada is translating the Bhagavatam. 10th canto. So we should take it very seriously, because it's deadly serious business. What did Parikshit Maharaj want to hear before he left his body? Before he left his body, he heard the Bhagavatam. That prepared him for death. He was fearless then. He wasn't afraid to die. Because it's the Bhagavatam deals with the realities of life. And this is one of them. Death. But if we successfully graduate from the Bhagavatam, then we won't have to experience rebirth. That would be a good thing. We will achieve pure devotion to the Lord. And even if we had to take birth again, it wouldn't matter. Whether we live or die, it doesn't matter, as long as we can serve the Lord. Like the gopis didn't care if they had to go to hell. If they could please Krishna, so much the better. Alright, so with those hands, where are those hands again? Okay. Maybe a few more should be... Anyway, but you have to really seriously do this. That means you have to find the time. You find the time to sleep. You find the time to eat. You find the time to go to the bathroom. So that means you can find the time to read Srila Prabhupada's books. And you can find the time to chant. And it's also, if you can... This devotee also, he heard 60 lectures. Now my wife is out of the country. I'm doing a lot of cooking. So, I always in the... Oh, that's it. Brings me to the next point. If for 1 lakh of rupees, you could get a ticket to Vaikuntha, would you buy it? For 1 lakh. Would you beg, borrow, and steal to get the money? How many would do it? Well, the few who don't like to, who would stay, huh? More would want to stay than would want to go, looks like. Hopefully you're just shy and or maybe you're tired of lifting your arm up. Okay, maybe a lack of rupees was too much. What about for 6,000 rupees? Whether we reduce the price to 6,000 rupees, under 10,000, more people could afford to go? Who would buy a ticket to Vaikuntha if it was available for 10,000 rupees? You're laughing. Well, such a ticket is actually available. Before they made the MP3s of all of Prabhupada's lectures, they were only available in cassette tapes. There was 40 volumes, 16 cassettes each, and they cost approximately $2,000. So I purchased them. I just got a small inheritance, but I thought the best thing I could possibly do is to, with that money, that we want to get the highest return on your investment, right? Where's the business people? They know ROI, return on investment. Where are you going to get the biggest bang for your buck? So I figured that this would be I could get the best return I could possibly get is if I bought all of Prabhupada's lectures and recordings. And it cost almost a lakh, $2,000 then. And so I set up my flat in such a way that had tape recorders in all the rooms. And each one was loaded with a tape. So as soon as I got up, I just, As soon as I got up, I'd press the button and I'd make my bed up, you know. And that would wake me up because you start hearing Srila Prabhupada talking about something and the mind is better than throwing water in your face. Then, of course, I went to the bathroom to take a bath. So I had another tape recorder and I pressed this. I got this idea from Tamal Krishna. So I pressed that. You know, then after I finished taking the bath, I'd put it back on because you don't listen to the tape while you're taking a bath because there's water is falling. Then I'd go back into the room and get dressed. Another, put the tape back on. Then I go in the kitchen and make something to eat. Put the tape on. But that was a lack of rupees to do that. You know, it's a big, took a whole bookshelf, just all the tapes. But now, because of digitization, miniaturization, you can do the same thing for 6,000 rupees. I'm going to show you. See? This is cost about 4,000 or 5,000. This would cost about 1,000.
If you ask a child, or even the father does, he'll sit down, let me meditate, press your nose, or this, that. Is there any... if I say a child, my dear girl, my dear boy, please, do like this, chant Hare Krishna. Simple method and the highest method. Not that we are advertising our Krishna consciousness movement. Here, the authority, the supreme authority, Krishna says, practicing yoga in full consciousness of me.
So, in this way, I listen to 2 or 3 lectures every day. That's how this devotee, in 1 month, he listened to 60 lectures. He heard directly from Srila Prabhupada. And though the lectures are sold, because they're digital, it's very easy to copy them, if you know what I mean. I'm not saying that you should steal them, but they're almost at a steal. You can copy them from somebody, how it goes. You can get them easily. And why not? You can just listen to Srila Prabhupada as you're doing, when you're brushing your teeth. I'm brushing my teeth and listening to Prabhupada. When I'm shaving my head, I'm listening to Prabhupada. Cooking, anything. When it doesn't require me to be, I'm not a brain surgeon. I don't have to be that, focused on. If it doesn't require me to be extremely focused, I'm listening to Srila Prabhupada. His words cut through all insanity. Hearing directly from Srila Prabhupada. One time I had to move from my flat. So I didn't have any time to chant because I had a deadline and a lot of stuff to move. So after a while I stopped chanting because as soon as I went to bed, all I did was pack. But I was listening to lectures. I was listening to 12 or 15 a day. And normally if I don't chant my rounds, I feel terrible. But I was feeling so good while I was listening. And I was wondering to myself, why do I feel good? Just at that moment, in the tape I was listening to, Prabhupada said, because the words of the spiritual master is Krishna speaking to you. This is not material. It's not material. It's transcendental. It is beyond our ability to conceive. What will happen when you see? Well, you got a small sample of what happens when this person, he read 2 cantos and listened to 60 lectures in 1 month. Is it okay to be crazy like this? He can't get enough. I have no sleep in my eyes. Taste has developed to read as fast as I can. I am really changed person in the past 30 days. Not 30 years. 30 days. 30, not 30 years, 30 days this happened because he actually did it. I desire that there must be more hours in today's night so that I can study all the Srila Prabhupada's literatures today itself. Is it okay to be crazy like this? Well, actually, we want to be crazy in a good way. So, Prabhu, you're going to, Haribol, you're going to note down these people's names, right? Okay. So, Prabhupada's legacy is there in his book, so we have to read the book. The marathon is coming up, right? When is the marathon? When is it coming up? 20th of this month. That's very soon. 11 days from now.
We are getting Bhima Prabhu for lunch.
He's coming. Very good. One of the BBT trustees is coming. We should all, that means all first persons are going to read Srimad Bhagavatam. Maybe you have to buy the Bhagavatam first, right? Buy the Bhagavatam. So the marathon is coming to become potent book distributors. The best salesman is somebody who's convinced of his product, right? They use their own product. They're the biggest, one of the wealthiest men in the world, Warren Buffett, right? So, it's called eating your own food. He invests in so many different companies, he only uses their product. He invests in Pepsi-Cola, he only drinks Pepsi. He invests in Gillette, he only uses Gillette products. He's a shareholder in American Express, guess which card he uses? He only uses his own products.
Okay,
I'll be finished, you can say that. So he only uses his own products. Dairy Queen, he owns the Dairy Queen, so he eats at Dairy Queen. He's got, whenever he gives his speech to the shareholders, he's got products from all his companies on his table and he's just eating them while he's investing in his own business by consuming them. So if you want to be a good book distributor, then we have to eat the product. We have to eat our own products. We have to read our own books. Otherwise, that becomes a good book distributor. Somebody who actually has studied the books. You study the books, you live the books, then you distribute the books. Very simple formula. Read, live, distribute. Is there any questions or comments? Because then by doing that, then Srila Prabhupada, as he said in the introduction, the very beginning of the Bhagavatam, what is the very first thing that Srila Prabhupada writes in the Bhagavatam? Anybody know? He lives forever in his instructions, and so does the follower. It's on the very first page. So those instructions are found where? In those books and on these tapes. He lives forever in his instructions, and so does the follower. So Srila Prabhupada lives forever in his instructions. And what do we want to do? We also want to live forever? What is the way? By following those instructions. And we'll only know what those instructions are if we read the books. It's like an unescapable conclusion. We have to read these books. Any questions or comments? All right, so Narasimha Swami has an announcement to make.